Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra live on Blog Talk Radio this January 26, 2013. This is your car accident talk radio show, sharing information and concern that helps you. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. Today on the broadcast, our topic will be about you and managing money. Unless you're in the top 25% of our country's wealth, you might spend a great deal of time, more than you want, concerned about how to get your financial needs met. Currently, the cost of living wages have not kept up with the cost of living, making it harder and harder for most people to stay afloat. And if you've been in a car accident and had loss of income, your daily struggles may feel insurmountable. So let's talk today here on Estra's radio show. On the program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies, self-insured employers, and coping with everyday situations from being involved with a car collision are up for discussion. This show is really about you. So dial 718-766-4385. Again, pick up that phone and dial 718-766-4385 to participate in today's broadcast. Someone injured just like you who may be financially in distress right now is waiting to hear your story of hope and courage. Personally, firsthand, I know your situation. I have dealt with insurance companies such as USAA, GEICO, PIMCO, Progressive, Farmers, Allstate, The Hartford, Premier, Blue Cross, United Healthcare, Medicare, Lifewise Insurance Company, Social Security, and employer SNC-Lavalin Constructors, previously known as Enron. But first, our personal injury in the news. These are my views on the topic and have no association with writers of the article. From time to time, I'll be stopping to take a moment to comment on a section. This week's personal injury news comes from abcnews.go.com, and it's actually by Ada Sultanova with the Associated Press, and it's from Baku, Azerbaijan. And if you don't know where that is, it's between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. The title of the article is Car Accident Triggers Unrest in Azerbaijan Town. I'm only going to read a portion of the article, but of course the full thing is listed out on Estra's blog tips on Facebook for you to go out to and take a look at it. But it's definitely a bit of an adventure, so I'll go ahead and start in on it. Quote, "It began late at night with a minor car accident. By midday Thursday, a hotel had been burned to the ground. Several expensive vehicles torched, and crowds were facing off with police to demand a leading regional official's resignation." Whoa. "The episode had exposed latent tensions nurtured by economic inequalities and unresponsive governance in the oil-abundant Azerbaijan. The ostentatious display of wealth and aggressive, arrogant behavior among well-connected individuals is commonplace across resource-rich former Soviet republics and engenders much bitterness." Sounds like a lot of that's going around the world today. These are my little comments in here I've made, too. "That appears to have served as the spark for the unrest in Izmaili, a resort town of 15,000 people beside a hilly natured reserve about 110 miles from the capital, Baku. Trouble began Wednesday night when the owner of a local hotel, 22-year-old, and it gives his name, reacted to his Chevrolet Camaro sports car veering onto a sidewalk and colliding with an electricity pole, ouch, by getting into a fight with another motorist." Ooh, talking about drama. That's my little comment there, going back to the article. "The person he fought with was parked by the side of the road in a Soviet car the ubiquitous model favored for cheapness rather than quality. He, who police said may have been drunk, berated, and swore at onlookers, prompting an angry reaction from a group of Ismailili's residents. The dispute quickly escalated, leading around 3,000 people raiding his hotel. Can you believe that? The name of the hotel means fire in Azeri, and setting alight several of his cars, which included the Camaro, a Chevrolet Niva, and a Hummer. Woo, these people sound like they were hot. Police who took him and his passengers into custody say the rampage lasted about 4 hours. And that's the end of the quote. I mean, it does go on for quite some time, giving a bit more information, but I'm amazed at the different things that happen after a collision. Emotions definitely were running high in this situation, as in many places where people are facing unrealized hopes and dreams. So, but I suspect no one actually knew the impact of this car collision and what would transpire after it. It's a little bit hard to imagine. So remember, if you're in a car accident, respect is key. Even if you're devastated by the loss of your car or this current situation or the behavior of others. Seems like lately we've been reading about a lot of people bringing guns to collisions or, you know, just doing some outrageous type of things. And we really need to focus and realize that we are each other's keeper when it comes to car accidents. So take care of yourself and also your brother and your sister and show some respect. Also, have you got a minute and you've been in a car accident? Fill me in by giving me 1 or 2 minutes of your time after the show. You matter. There's a survey out there and it's easy to fill out. Understand, takes a quick moment and just will help our viewers be able to realize just how much everyone has in common when going through a car accident. So click on the link. You can find it at Estra's radio show or Estra's blog tips or out on Twitter. Any comments you would also like to make now or after the show can be sent to Estra's radio show at blogtalkradio.com. Listeners, thank you for being a part of today's show. Now for my commentary on you and managing money. Financial security is a slippery slope. After a car accident, it can become a monetary nosedive. One moment you feel as safe as a newborn baby in the arms of their parents. The next minute you feel lost and confused, not knowing where your next meal is even coming from. How much of it is planning for a bad season in your life or being swept up in a whirlwind of disasters that no one could predict or just bad financial choices? In my opinion, it could be one or all three of these circumstances that somehow connected to bring you where you are in your financial life today. In life, many times we can wind up in situations that we would prefer not to be in. Things that are a heavy burden, like walking uphill on a mountain of snow with no protection while attempting to make it to the top. Today, make a decision, possibly frostbite and all, to get to that mountain top. Don't be too discouraged when facing perhaps some of the worst situations ever experienced. Believe me, somewhere out in the world, right now, there is someone facing worse obstacles and living to tell the tale. It starts with a decision of not giving up and not giving in. You might have to adjust your speed, and that's okay. The important thing is just to keep going. So, are you performing at the top of your game? Currently in good financial standing, which is a nice place to be? Have you thought how you want to maintain it or improve it? Or an emergency plan in case financial disaster strikes? Well, maybe currently right now you're just in a financial okay position. You're able to pay your bills, eat, sleep, and enjoy entertainment at will. Are you thinking about your future financial plan and making enough sacrifices right now in case an unplanned event happens again? Yes, I said again. One can be in more than one collision within a short period of time. Are you saving money in case you end up not having any income for several months? Would you have time to adjust
and figure out a new financial plan? Let us say there's even another level. A level where you've lost everything. You're broke. You have more bills than money coming in. You don't know how you can pay all of them. You don't even know how you're going to make it for the next month. What is the most important thing to do at this point? In my opinion, the answer is breathe. Yes, breathe. The more overwhelmed you become, the cloudier your decision-making process and increases your chances of making even worse decisions. This also opens up a whole new level of fear. And from my perspective, fear is one of the worst things to encounter because it stops you from making the best choices on your behalf. And you start making the best decisions on what you're afraid of, which means you are hurting yourself typically. From my perspective, always placing yourself first will allow you to place yourself in a position to climb out of wherever you are and at whatever level. From my point of view, if you act out of fear financially, or what I call financial fear, you will give more of your money to others that you don't have, that you actually need for yourself, and this will harm you even further. Can others wait until you are in a better position? They will not get as much of anything if you cannot pull yourself out of this financial hardship. Sock away money to aid in your basic survival first. Then pay what you can to others and build upon it slowly as you climb out of financial despair. Most times, as one is climbing out of this despair, remember what you have learned from the lessons, especially if you're carrying a great deal of debt. Even though they are smiling and congratulating you as you were buying that home or car, vacation, shopping on credit cards, whatever the case may be, you also notice, though, they were not so nice when it came to you not being able to repay them. So next time around, you may want to be patient and purchase items within your current budgets or your means. So if hardship comes your way, it won't be so hard. Secondly, saving a portion of what you make is so important. I know that when it seems like you don't have enough to spread around, you do your best to place it everywhere else. And financial sacrifice is a good thing, but it's when it's to make your life better and move forward, and not just help who you owe, but it helps you. Because tomorrow you will be here, and you will need to live, and that means to live at cost. So you're going to need money. And if you've ever noticed, it's so much more difficult to get money when you have none. It's so much easier for money to flow to you when you have something for it to flow from or to and from. So having money, in other words, helps to keep that wheel moving, that money wheel moving, and to help you moving in the right direction. Do you believe all the advertisements that you see in here? How much value are they really adding to your life? Or is this profits for some who already have a great deal more than needed? They realize they will need more money in the future. Now, will you realize that you need more money in the future? It is time to be the lender of your own financial ship and not be driven back and forth as every trend or commercial leads you. Think hard. Think clearly about your financial life. Yes, you do have a financial life. Every day, each and every day, you make choices about it. How seriously will you make each one of these decisions? Look back today on yesterday, then a week ago, a month ago, last year. What does it look like? If you value your money as much as those who would like to take it from you, you will find a balance between your need to save and your need to actually spend and your need to actually save. Managing your finances really starts with taking care of you. of not being persuaded by others, purchase things you cannot afford and you don't need. Whenever you think, I deserve this item, I challenge you to say rather, I deserve financial freedom, to be my own person, to live a life that brings me joy, peace, and happiness by not having to be indebted to someone else for most of it. Even if I will not have material things, I can have a life that I can live my way and pursue my dreams that I believe in, and not promote the dreams of others by supplying them with my money for it. And I hope that that will become a part of your new financial anthem. It's really about you and managing your money. I believe that you can do it. I believe you can get through the financial hardships you might be struggling through now. I believe by taking a look at where you honestly are today, putting yourself first so that you can not only manage your finances better, but take some of the stress off of your body and also your mind. And I think by doing these things, you will help to move your life forward. Listeners, what is holding you up right now financially? And what would happen if that financial block evaporates? In other words, what would happen if the money that you have coming in now just stopped? What would you do? Email me your comments to Estra's Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Next, we will review articles written on managing your money. Again, comments on the articles reviewed today are my opinion and have no association with the writers of them. From time to time, I will be stopping to comment on a section. This first article comes from Oprah Magazine featuring Susie Orman's articles on money. In fact, they currently have several written features on the topic. I recommend reviewing them to find ideas that fit into your financial goals and implement them. The one we're going to actually look at today is called Susie Orman's Top Advice from 2012. And it's Susie lists 12 ways to reduce your debt and describes them. I'm actually going to list them and make some of my comments on them, or go ahead and quote what Susie has on there, but I'll make sure that I make sure that you know the difference. Number one she actually lists is beware of the balance transfer blunders. And she has a great section on there, but I'm going to actually put in a couple of my own thoughts here. And it says, watch how your bank processes your transactions, because I find that sometimes they hold things back, sometimes they process them through. You really need to watch those, and you need to monitor how your bank processes things. And I've seen them do some really interesting things, you know, especially at the time when everyone was thinking about switching from credit unions. You haven't heard a lot about that lately. Credit unions, from commercial banks to credit unions. And there, in my opinion, was a little shady things going on at that point. But just for your information and to make sure that you don't get into some problems, go ahead and make sure you pay attention how they're processing your transactions. Also, review your balance daily. See where you are. I find that when you do that on a regular basis and you see what's going on and what's happening, first of all, you seem to take a hold of it a little bit more, of your responsibility of your finances, and you just try to maintain your goals each day. Also, in the morning, determine how much you will spend that day and on what. And I think somehow the mind says, okay, this is what I have, this is what I'm going to use today, and this is where I put it. And you'll find a little bit more satisfaction at the end of that day, especially when after a car accident, you're really not working with a lot of money most times, and you're really trying to hedge those pennies the best that you can. Okay, number two, she says, refuse to play the credit card company's game. And she's got some great ideas under that one too, so I recommend you go out and read this article in full as she has it. The things I want to add to this, a couple things to this section, it is that their goal is not to treat you with respect and dignity, in my opinion. They pimp on you as much as possible. When they say let the buyer beware with credit cards, seriously, it's no joke. that you definitely have to be aware. The interest rates are astronomical, considering in my opinion, none of these people would ever pay the astronomical interest rates that they're asking poor people and average people to pay. You know, 24%, 30%. You know, most people don't have that much money. So when you're paying out that, you are giving them a lot of your financial power that you actually need to survive. You have not much. So it's made you a major problem. So pay them off as soon as you can, but not at the expense of not eating or living indoors, okay? Paying your bills is important. That's no joke. Usury, in my opinion, in this world today has gone out of control. Do your best in the situation you're in and find ways to reduce your costs as much as possible, especially since you don't have any or very little income coming in. Okay, number three, she says, curb your appetite for sales. And I'm going to actually read her quote on this. Quote, a deal that reduces the tab at a favorite restaurant or half the price of a pair of designer shoes can still be a huge mistake. Yet people get so seduced by the amount of money they're saving, they overlook the fact that they're still spending. This needs to stop. Spending a cent on any want when your long-term needs are being ignored or shortchanged is irresponsible. A discount can be disaster if it keeps you from focusing on what's important. And end quote. So that's what Susie says. I want to add one thing, and I think that sometimes when people don't have a lot to work with, it's like every day you're getting up or you're seeing things that you just really want, and you see other people getting them, and you feel like, hey, I'm just being left behind. I challenge you to let go of that thought. I challenge you to rethink and say, okay, this is how much I have. I might just splurge maybe this week once on something that I really enjoy. It might be small, and it may be a couple dollars or two, but it gives me the self-respect and dignity to feel that I can accomplish it, get something that I need and necessarily want without actually causing, you know, complete annihilation of your budget or foregoing something that you really need that's basic to your survival. Because going day after day, and I know people do this, day after day, year after year, wears on a person who's struggling and isn't able to actually put together enough to do even the basic things of maybe going to the store and buying some hair color or hair relaxer, whatever it is, you know, or fingernail polish, something very basic to be able to make them feel better and feel appreciated. So make sure that when you find something like that, that you do it in a way that actually supports you and says, yes, I care about me, I love me, I'm in a very bad position, but every little once in a while, I'm going to do something very special for me. Okay, I'm going to go to number four now. It says, stop thinking of financial windfalls as splurge money. And oh, Susie, I agree with you so much on this. I'm going to read her quote, and then I'm going to make a couple things that I want to say. Quote, saving money before it ever lands in your checking account is indefinitely easier than promising yourself you won't spend it. What I see all too often is a tendency for people to almost mindlessly use up a windfall like a work bonus, raise, or unexpected gift. Instead, commit saving 75% of every bit of unexpected money that comes your way. No ifs and no ands or buts. The other 25%, feel free to spend it. But if you want to save that too, you get my serious approval, she says. Staying on a plan that's all about denial is nearly impossible. A balanced, moderate approach is substantial. So giving yourself permission to spend 25% of the money could actually be the key to saving the other 75%, end quote. And I agree so much with Susie on this. I think that, at least, and these are my comments here, in my opinion, that people can experience so much lack that when you get a windfall, you say, oh my goodness, I needed all these things, I wanted all these things, I want them now, right? And I can understand just that hunger within you, but it's like balancing in that. And I think in this example, Susie Orman gives an excellent example. take that 25% and do whatever you want. Take that 75% and save it. Because I assure you, if you keep living, the rainy days are going to come. And you want to have something there. It's really hard to have a rainy day and have no umbrella, just letting the rain pour down on you. It's a very difficult thing to experience. Number 5, think short term when buying a house. I went ahead and actually adjusted and put some of my ideas. Like I said, the full article is out there, and you can find the actual link on Facebook, which I highly recommend that you go out and read. I've just kind of wanted to make some comments about it from a car accident perspective and the experience of going through that portion from my point of view. I would challenge the thought of giving most of your money you earn in your lifetime to the banks or mortgage companies. They have enough money, in particular of our money. You need money. Pay the least amount you can for housing, whether renting or purchasing. If purchasing, I challenge you to save up through your 20s and 30s or both and then purchase a home. The less in debt you are, the less chances of becoming a lifetime slave. Think about what's important to your financial health and your financial being. No one likes, especially the older you get, you realize really what work is. Sometimes when you're young, it's like, oh yeah, I don't want to feel like doing this, but your body loves it. Or your body's able to, your mind, everything is ready and roaring to go. As you get older, things begin to change, or the unexpected happens, like a car accident. So you want to make sure that you haven't blocked in your life into these places that you can't get out. You want as much freedom going forward as possible. And those are my comments. Number 6, except when you plan on selling it. And I guess that she's talking about a house. And I'm going to go ahead and read her quote on this. Quote, if you're not sure you'll stay in a home for the long haul, I see no need to speed up your mortgage payments. Just keep saving as much as you can for the future. You have to be prepared for decades of retirement. Don't get too wound up in what the markets are doing this quarter or that year. Stay focused on the need to save for the long term. If you have a 401k and an employer that offers a matching contribution, I recommend contributing enough to get that match. Funding an IRA is also a good strategy. I have to stop here for just a moment. Most of the people at this point in a car accident, typically, especially if they become disabled, don't have jobs. If they had a 401k and their actual average income, which is about $30,000 for each person, it's not really going to be that much. To me, it's a very difficult situation to be in if you don't have those resources to help move you along. So that's how come I've added some of the things, because I realize people that are in a car accident typically are getting Social Security or Medicaid, Medicare. The things that they're getting, state help, is very little and really doesn't really apply too much to some of that, because they don't have it. So make sure that when you get in a situation where you're trying to hold on to money, that you continue to just actually put away a little bit of what you have for that rainy day and that umbrella, because it's definitely going to actually happen. Let me see. I'm going to go back to what Susie says here. If in the coming years you decide you do want to put in your current home, then you can accelerate your mortgage payments once your 401k and your IRA commitments are taken care of. That's what I was going to say. I forgot something. Most people only have their Social Security disability or Social Security retirement funds available. So a lot of times they really aren't living off of any money that they've worked all those years, but they don't have anything to show for it. And to me, in a country of this size, that's a tragedy. Most people work. There's a lot of people who just get barely over minimum wage, especially today while these companies are making profits that are unbelievable. I don't know how some of them sleep at night. I think they need to go down and see what their wages are doing to people's lives. I wonder if they'd still be able to live the way that they do, some of them. Okay, but I don't want to get off here. So I'm going to go back. It says, I'm going back to Susie, and I'm just going to start a paragraph so that you can actually follow what she's saying. If in the coming years you decide you do want to stay put in your current home, then you can accelerate your mortgage payments. Once your 401k and IRA commitments are taken care of, paying off a mortgage can be an incredibly smart retirement move. And that's because, this is my little thing here, that's because there are several people who actually go into retirement and their mortgages are not paid. Okay, I'm going back. Quote, think about it. Yes, you will have less saved up in a retirement account, but you will also have much lower monthly expenses. The trick here is balance. And end quote. And that's what she's, the end of her, what she says. What I see is that most of the time, what are some of the most expensive today expenses to live? Your rent or your mortgage payment. So by eliminating that, you place so much more income back into your life, and it gives you so much more power to choose some of the things you do. There's a freedom in financial stability and money being available to you. So don't take those things lightly. You really, in my opinion, don't want to just give most of your money back to the banks or mortgage companies. Think about how you can really take that money and make your life and your family's life better. Okay, number 7, don't fall for the renting is a waste of money fallacy. And this is what Susie's saying, quote, in some regions of the country, the cost of owning may still be higher than that of renting. To account for total ownership expenses include property tax and maintenance, my rule of thumb is to add about 30% to the base mortgage amount. And while home values may be stabilizing in many parts of the United States, that does not mean they are suddenly going to start rising at fast and furious pace. Over the next 5 to 7 years, you still might see a home's value appreciate roughly at 8 to 10%. It would need to simply cover the cost of relocating, which at the very least includes the real estate agent's typical 6% commission, as well as mover's fees. Do the math carefully before you consider buying. Ask yourself, do you have any inkling that you'll want to move in the next 5 to 7 years, whether for a job, a fresh start, or new experience? If so, purchasing a home is not a major or smart choice. Keep renting until you can commit to settling down for longer, and tune out everyone who says you're throwing away money. I, end quote for Susie. And I agree. I don't necessarily think keeping up with the Joneses and following the traditional way people are saying you have to live your life is the best way, especially today. I personally believe that if you want to have a house, then know what you're getting into, save for it. You really don't need to give the banks, your financial life for 30 years. Think about it. If you're actually giving them 30 years of your financial life in large volumes, most of them now are $2,000 a month for a mortgage in most places. $2,000 a month for 30 years. Think about it. Think about what else you could do for yourself and your family. Number 8. Give yourself a reality check before attempting to recoup a loss. And this is of Susie's, and I'm going to quote it here. Our brains do a real number on us when it comes to money. When we buy something, the price we pay becomes a permanent reference point. Psychologists call it anchoring, and it can sink you financially. For example, if you invest $1,000 in a stock and its value drops to $500, you tell yourself, I'll sell once it goes back to $1,000 so I break even. But that doesn't make sense. Your portfolio decisions must be based on an investment's potential going forward. To judge if you're falling victim to an anchor-dropping trap, look at the stock in your portfolio and ask yourself if you would buy it today. If the answer is no, you should consider selling, even at a loss. End quote. Excuse me. I personally believe that this reality check she's talking about is great. That psychologist calling anchoring. I think that when you're in a car accident and things are not going in a way that's helping to lift you up, that one can do some anchoring. Okay, I'll just kind of stay in. I'll just wait until this gets better. Or I call it putting on those rose-colored glasses. And truly, it's a time when you really need to look at things as clearly as possible, because first of all, most people, if they've been in a car accident, are probably injured, and they're not really thinking things as clearly as they need to. So when you're able to look at things objectively, and I call that stepping away from it and saying, well, you know, if I was seeing, you know, somebody else do this, how would I perceive this? Something to give you a bit of balance on the situation. Number 9, avoid co-signing loans for your kids even if they have stable jobs. And this is from Susie, and I've seen her show, and she seems to really be adamant about this. I'm going to quote her here. It says, I am never a big fan on co-signing a loan because it means you are 100% liable for making good on the amount borrowed. Don't do it. This is not your son or daughter being a flake or freeloader. What if he or she is laid off or is injured in a car accident? Boy, that's what I'm saying. Now we're talking, Susie. She says, injured in a car accident. You must know how bad it can get for most people. If you're seriously injured or you have chronic pain after that, life can get really difficult. But I'm going to go on with the rest of her article there, quote. But you can still help. If your FICO credit score is at least 740, I would consider adding your child to your credit card as an authorized user. This allows him to piggyback on your credit score and will help him build a solid credit report that will eventually make it possible for him to qualify for a loan. Isn't that wonderful? Now that, I think, is a great idea. I'd never seen that before. Unfortunately, most people who are poor, who've been in accidents and have run out of money, a lot of them don't have FICO scores that one would want to repeat. It's a very difficult thing to be able to pay someone if you have nothing to pay them with. So that's the reason why I say, you know, the less debt, stay away from it. They don't mean you any good, especially if you end up in trouble. They will not be as nice to you when you don't have it to pay back as to when they're trying to give it to you. Number 10, cut out unnecessary life insurance. And this is Susie's quote. You need life insurance only if there are loved ones who depend on you financially. The question you need to ask is, if I die today, would everyone be able to pay their bills? If the answer is no, you need life insurance, end quote. And that's Susie. I would take it back a little further than that. Most poor people or average people, they have a problem with the person who's died. They have trouble trying to get them buried or cremated, whatever their, you know, family traditions are for burials. So most of the time, there isn't any money. Life insurance would help. It would help in being able to bury their loved ones and to have something to take care of some of the people in their lives' bills. But typically, for most people, it's not necessarily that way today. Most people don't have enough for food. You know, our food banks are just, you know, asking every week, can you bring us food? Can you bring us food? You know, the number of people every day going hungry in America is skyrocketing. So, as I've said before, do the best you can. Do the best you can. And know that you're not alone. There's a lot of people in the same situation. Okay, number 11, invest in your children's future, but not at the cost of yours. Ugh. And I actually kind of switched. She has great ideas on there, so make sure you go back and read her article. But I wanted to add some things in here from my opinion, because this is a very difficult choice for poor people. Choosing your child's future may indeed come at a cost of your own. From my perspective, this is a personal decision, and it's a difficult choice. The way I see it, Congress is currently making this decision based on their needs and not the future of our children, which may lead us destitute of future knowledge because many of their policies do not place our children first. So however you make this decision, choose wisely. We've seen where it goes both ways, and perhaps, in my opinion, maybe balance is the best policy. I'm not sure. I think it's probably a very unique situation, depending on your particulars. Number 12, do this before dipping into an annuity to pay off debt. And this is Susie, and I'm quoting here. Most people of an average mean or are poor don't have an annuity. Thanks, Susie. She got to it. To pay off debt. More than likely, a year or two after a car accident, yay, Susie, she's talking car accidents, much of your resources have dried up. I'm sorry, this is not Susie, I have to back up, this is me, my apology, I did not highlight the color, forgive me. So I'm going to go back to this one. It says, do this before dipping into an annuity to pay off debt. And these comments are mine. They are not Susie's. Most people on an average, most people of an average mean or are poor don't have annuity to pay off debt. More than likely, a year or two after a car accident, much of your resources have dried up and you're robbing Peter to pay Paul for quite some time. Don't give up on doing your best. At this point, your survival and health are your main focus. And that is just so true for the average person. So managing your money really on a day-to-day basis will help you to do the best you can with what you have. Susie Orman and Oprah Winfrey share excellent ideas on how to make your life better, and I highly recommend viewing both of their sites for more ideas. And yes, don't be afraid to tweak them in a way that's comfortable and blends with your life and your particular situation. Listeners, thank you so much for being with us today on our show. I want to say one more thing about Susie Orman's credit card and why I believe in it. First of all, I do not know Susie Orman, and I have never talked with her. I am familiar with her show, but these are my opinions based on my personal review. I like to use Susie Orman's credit card as an emergency card, not like I just ran out of gas card. I mean like the house is on fire kind of a thing, something really catastrophic. An umbrella for my rainy day, for a little dryness, and this is why I certainly would see placing 75% of a windfall on this card. So why don't you also give it a try? It's only $3 a month. So if you want to actually take a look, it's at www.theapprovedcard.com. And it also will be up on Estra's Facebook page, Estra's Blog Tips. So in fact, let me see if I can read just a quick thing about what she says about it here. This is from her actual website. It says, it's an easier and smarter way to be debt-free. It says, quote, welcome to the approved card, the card that puts people first. And I think that's really something that's unique right now in our society. And I'm just going to give the first paragraph here so you can go out and take a look for it yourself. The approved card is a prepaid card, not a credit card, so you can't get into debt when you use it. You can use the approved card everywhere debit MasterCard is accepted and is better and safer than cash. Please go out and check it out. I think that it'll help you in making a plan to balance your financial situation. Listeners, I am so surprised just how quickly our time keeps going every week. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your feedback and comments, too. I want to extend a special thank you to the White House for President Obama's inauguration, and, of course, the anthem by Beyoncé. Thank you so much. Fabian Claudel, InternetArchive.org, Forrest M., Richard Kleiderman, Frank Mills, Al Hurt, James Edwards, Cora Kaya, Marcus Miller, David Rees, Joshua Wathrall, Willie Icebaum, I'm Pelletieri, Kataro, The Routers, The Ventures, and Francisilia. So, the articles also today. Thank you, Oprah and Susie Orman. You guys made it so much more interesting today. Make sure to visit them at their websites. Their links are up on my Facebook at Estra's Blog Tips. So tune in next week on Saturday at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen, where you can just be yourself. Have a great weekend. It's really all up to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my great privilege and distinct honor to introduce the 44th President of the United States of America, Barack H. Obama.
For we, the people, understand that our country cannot succeed when a shrinking few do very well and a growing many barely make it. We believe that America's prosperity must rest upon the broad shoulders of a rising middle class. We know that America thrives when every person can find independence and pride in their work, when the wages of honest labor liberate families from the brink of hardship, We are true to our creed when a little girl born into the bleakest poverty knows that she has the same chance to succeed as anybody else because she is an American, she is free, and she is equal, not just in the eyes of God, but also in our own.
The information contained on Talking About You with Esther is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of free speech has allowed Esther's radio show and her opinions, in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Esther is in no way liable for misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing at P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington 98168. Thank you.